You are Locked On MLB, your daily podcast on Major League Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to your Thursday, April 19th edition of Locked On MLB. I am your host, Tommy Stokey. Check us out at LockedOnMLB.com. We are on iTunes, Google Play, and now Spotify. Check out all our markets. We're up to 11 total podcasts. Again, find those at LockedOnMLB.com. Today, we got a quick one. I want to go over the news that we actually have today. This morning, the Cincinnati Reds fired manager Brian Price. They replaced him on an interim basis. And there is a wide reaction around baseball and the internet that this speaks to how poorly the Reds rebuild is going, and that, you know, you can't, you know, I saw one out there saying that you can't compare them to the Reds and the Cubs, and or this is why not all rebuilds work. And so I want to get into that and why we shouldn't necessarily judge the Reds rebuild because they had to fire Brian Price. And so they let their pitching coach go as well. But that's our main topic today. Because we're recording this in the middle of the day, I don't want to go over what happened on Wednesday, and no need to go over what's happening tonight. So this is our big story today. So the Reds let go of Brian Price this morning. Price was 279 and 387 since taking over for Dusty Baker, when Dusty Baker was let go after not having enough success in the postseason. This has kind of been the thing with Baker, that he doesn't have postseason success. They replace him, and whoever comes in usually doesn't do quite as good of a job. So this doesn't say a ton about Brian Price, although there was plenty to, you know, argue with when he was managing and they were better. I mean, I don't think a lot of people saw him as a great manager, but I think a lot of people understand that he's not necessarily the sole reason why this didn't work. They're off to a really bad start, 3-something, if I can pull the number up here real quick, if they play today. They don't. They're like 3-15 or 3-13 or something real bad. They just lost to the Brewers. They were swept 4 games by the Cardinals. I mean, they've lost pretty much just every game you can lose. So you kind of saw this coming in a sense, because Price was a lame duck manager coming in. He did not have a contract beyond this season. Some people said, why go into the season with a lame duck manager? Some say, why fire him now when you knew that your team wasn't going to be very good? And, you know, what did you learn about him in these 18 games that you didn't know before? The answer is probably nothing. But at the same time, it was probably a chance like, hey, if you get these guys off to a great start, cool. I mean, at this point, only 3 wins in the season. You know he's not going to come back next year. I guess you're better off not sitting him in that awkward spot all season of like, hey, we're not giving you a contract extension, and we're also not bringing you back. So I guess why delay the inevitable? Jim Riggleman is the interim manager, former manager of the Chicago Cubs, and I think he's at interim spots other places. I think Washington being one of them. So what stands out to me is where everybody says, oh, the Reds rebuild is going really, really poorly. It shows that you can't be the Astros and the Cubs. And that's true in a sense, but it's also way too early to tell. And a couple of mistakes, and specifically firing the manager, I don't think says anything about where the rebuild is. You look at the Cubs, and Theo Epstein went through 2 managers before landing on Joe Maddon. So Dale Swaim didn't work out, brought in Ricky Renteria, and whether he worked out or not, or it was just a situation of you can get Joe Maddon. The point being, he got to hire three managers, and when Swaim was fired, sure, there were newspaper headlines and clickbait, for lack of a better phrase, where they were just ripping the Cubs and this is never going to work, blah, 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 but that's what columnists are supposed to do, so, you know, whatever. They had missteps along the way, whether it was the Edwin Jackson contract, whether it was the DJ LeMahieu trade for Ian Stewart. I mean, they didn't do everything perfect. And the Astros were even kind of worse in their process, in the sense that You whiff on two top picks when you take Mark Appel over Chris Bryant and you take Brady Aiken and he doesn't sign. I know that led to taking Alex Bregman, but you whiff there. You release J.D. Martinez. You have the Carlos Gomez trade where you get him. He doesn't end up helping, and you lose out, what, Domingo Santana, Brett Phillips, Josh Hader, who are all, you know, relatively successful for the Brewers. So they had plenty of missteps, and so there's not a foolproof plan of rebuilding. But I also think we're kind of early into this, where, you know, Dick Williams, the general manager for the Reds, just took over in December of 2016. They've taken Nick Senzel, who we haven't seen yet, but I'm sure we're going to see soon. He was a first-round pick. We have, you know, they just drafted Hunter Green, who is, by all accounts, a huge talent. We're not going to see him for a while. Taylor Trammell, another first-round pick that people are high on. Tyler Stevenson, don't know that people are super high on him, but another 2015 draft pick that we haven't seen yet. So there's still a lot to – there's still time before we really know whether or not this is going to work out in Cincinnati. And I know that that's not the most – exciting answer. I know that some fans were optimistic. Oh, they're going to be 500 this year. I think that's kind of crazy. But then you look at some of the other stuff that they've done, whether it was the, you know, dealing with the Homer Bailey extension, which has worked out terrible because Homer Bailey can't stay healthy. They've had, you know, Brandon Finnegan can't stay healthy or hasn't been healthy yet since getting him. And I will say the problem that the Reds had is they didn't commit to the rebuild as early. They had chips that they could trade in Aroldis Chapman. They waited too long there. Jay Bruce, they waited too long. So by not fully committing like the Cubs and Astros did, where they said, look, we're all in on this, the Reds weren't, that's where the Reds went wrong. But now to say that their rebuild is failing or has failed because they have to fire Brian Price, I feel like that's just a stretch. I mean, they still have young talent in the majors right now. They've got some established talent in Joey Votto, one of the best hitters in the game. You have, you know, Jesse Winker is going to get more and more playing time as he gets acclimated. Jose Peraza, you're going to get to see some from. You know, Alex Blandino, a first-round pick, got called up. Eugenio Suarez is a solid player. So, I mean, there are pieces there. Tucker Barnhart, you have a Gold Glover behind the plate. The Devin Masuraco contract didn't work out, but so not everything's gone smoothly, but they have some pieces in place. They have a developing farm system. If it's, you know, it's not, no one's calling it a top five system, but it's developing. The point being, let's not rush to say the Reds are in terrible shape and this is all failing because they had to let go of Brian Price. I think everybody knew this was still a rebuild year. I don't think anybody thought that they're as close as, say, Atlanta, where Atlanta, on the bright side, like, optimistically, could be 500 this year, and this was before the season, and they're off to a 10-7 start. But Atlanta also has chips that are, you know, blue-chip prospects that are close or ready, so everybody thinks that next year will be the year that they really make a push. I don't know that anybody thought this year was a transition year, and if everything goes right, then the Reds will be successful. I don't know that anybody really realistically thought that. So, still a couple years away, but that was the case whether Brian Price was around or not. So, we'll have to see what kind of job this is. We'll see who the candidates are. I mean, we have a long time before that's going to happen. So many things can change. Other jobs will open. I don't know that it'll be the most. It won't be the most sought after job on the market. You know, depending on, I guess, what's out there. But at the same time, it's not a. I don't think it's a bad job either. And if we're being realistic, there's only 30 of them. So any guy with a chance is probably going to take it. Who do we think will be next to let go? I think it's probably between three guys, and one I don't see as realistic. Buck Showalter doesn't sound like he's going to go anywhere, no matter how bad they are, unless he transitions into a front office role right away. Sounds like that's what they want to do next year. But the other two guys I would look at are probably Bannister in Texas and Cash in Tampa Bay, Kevin Cash. By all accounts, from what I've heard, Kevin Cash is really smart and probably going to be a really good manager in his second stint, but might just not have a chance in Tampa Bay. Now, that's a job that I don't know too many people are going to be excited about, but again, with only 30 of them, you'll take it. And then Texas, just because they're off to that slow start, you kind of, you know, again, whether it's Bannister's fault or not, he would probably be the fall guy there. So that's my thought on Brian Price and the Reds. You know, don't rush to judgment on their rebuild just because they made a move that everybody saw coming, whether it was in April, June, or October. So there's still time to go there. Probably not going to be next year either, but there's talent coming. Wait for Senzel to come up and see what they look like. But follow me on Twitter, Stokey Tommy. Follow us on iTunes. Give us some five stars, some reviews, Google Play, Spotify, and check us out at LockedOnMLB.com.